Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning and welcome to 95.7 The Game. We're alongside the Pro Bowler, Lorenzo Neal. The always dapper Dan Dibley. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. Great to have you in on this Monday. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the red shirt edition of the program. I just noticed you two are matching in red t-shirts today.
You didn't get the memo, did you, Joe?
No, I didn't.
Dibs, you're slipping. You should have gave him the memo.
It's my bad. I even went with the red shoes, too. I thought we would match it up today. Let's show a little class on
Got
a Monday.
Got a little red in mine, a little red.
That's true.
Yeah.
Were either of these t-shirts purchased is the key question.
You kidding me? I haven't bought a t-shirt since the Reagan administration.
Joe, I bought mine.
No, you didn't.
I was in San Diego this weekend. Gold's Gym.
So World Gym is what that t-shirt says.
He doesn't even know.
Gold Gym, World Gym. Yeah. Come on, you got it for free.
It was a gym.
You went to Del Mar this weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
This is correct. I did.
How did the crowd look? It's a beautiful crowd down there.
Ah, it's an amazing place, man. I mean, this track was in mint condition. They've done a lot of upgrades to the track. It's amazing to be around a lot of the guys and watch the races. It was one horse, Dibs, was favorite, undefeated. End up getting motorboated. Got motorboated. You said you saw it on Twitter.
I got to look the name up, but I follow, it's a big surprise, on Twitter I follow a lot of horse racing handicappers. I know, stop traffic. And all of a sudden on Saturday, there's just this eruption of horse tweets.
Yeah.
Because apparently there was an absolute stud running in this race and didn't even finish in the top three.
No.
I heard the show prices were through the roof on this race. We have none of the details. You were there. I follow horse racing. We're just blabbering about it right now. But we'll get more details on that throughout the show. All right. It is a huge day. Rookies report. Hard to imagine that it's been so long since the Houston playoff game, we already are at that point where rookies are reporting to training camp for the Oakland Raiders. 3 days from now, rookies and vets report for the Niners, but we've got a Raider-heavy show for you today, and we're going to be taking a lot of calls because we have a lot of questions. The rundown of guests is as follows. Jim Callis is a senior writer for MLB.com. He's going to join us at 6:30. Larry Bear handing down a mandate to Sabian and Evans. I want a contender in 2018. Interesting. We'll talk to him about that. Will Brinson, a good fan of mine, fish fan as well, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be joining us at 7:15 to talk all things NFL. Jim Bowden at 8:30. Heath Evans at 9:05. Bo Mel going for win number 1,000 tonight. He joins us at 9:30. We've also got tickets to give away at 8:45. Cash contest at 7 and 8. But for right now, here's Dibs with your update.
And you hit it, Joe. The top story is the Raiders getting their rookies into camp today, reporting to Napa. The football field adjacent to Redwood Middle School will be their home for the next handful of weeks. The veteran players due in on Friday. The 49ers, meanwhile, will get rookies and veterans all in together on Thursday. NFL training camp is here, and the season now just a month or so away. Story number two, the Oakland A's getting it done in New York.
1-1, fly ball to left. It's back. Conforto's at the track, at the wall. And it's 28 for Chris Davis. Just reached out and clubbed it into the seats in left field. And the A's are back in front, 2-1. As Davis muscles up on Montero and gets the lead back for Oakland.
Vince Catronio here on 95.7 The Game. 3-2 the final. Career win, 999 for Bob Melvin. He goes for 1,000 in Toronto this afternoon. 407 first pitch. 315 your dugout show here on 95.7 The Game. Story number three, Giants drop 3-4 to the Padres, losing the finale 5-2. Will Myers, his 20th homer of the year, his fifth of the year at AT&T Park. The update brought to you by Roto-Rooter. Don't waste a single drop of water this summer. Contact your local Bay Area Roto-Rooter to repair any leaks at rotorooter.com. And away go troubles down the drain. Rotorooter.com. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the NBA champion, Golden State Warriors. It's 95.7 The Game.
Good stuff, Dibs. Thank you. Why is first pitch 4:07? Is that how they do things in Canada? Got to add an extra 2 minutes to everything?
I think it's the conversion, Joe. Minutes get converted. The dollar gets converted. Everything gets maneuvered.
It's French time.
That's right.
Oui. French Canadian. All right. Rookies have reported to camp. Day one on a quest to win the Super Bowl. And yes, that is a reasonable sentiment for Raider fans for the first time in a very long time. A quest to win the Super Bowl. Lorenzo Neal, I want to start with you. Help educate us on what today is all about for rookies. They're going to be showing up at Napa. What are they going through? As Raider fans, what should we be paying attention to?
I think the biggest thing today is just guys getting situated, Joe and Dibs. What they're doing, guys are reporting in with their bags and their suitcase, their sea bags. They've already kissed a wife and kids or girlfriend or significant other and said bye. And once you do there, you report. You have the weigh-in, mandatory weigh-in. The weights that you pose have been set by the strength coach and the coaches above. And then after you do your weigh-in, you usually go in. You check in to where you're at far as where the equipment's going to be. Make sure your shoulder pads and your shoes and everything is there. Then you usually from there, you go to the mess hall, get something to eat. You want to make sure you put your clothes and get everything situated for your rooms. And then, you know, people have to all be there by 5 o'clock. Then, you know, you have your dinner, and then there's meetings. Joe, guys position meeting. The first is a team meeting. Jack will address the team. Ownership address the team. Then you break up. You go on your meeting. You go to your room. You start talking about different things. Special team meetings meet, and you just get ready to start today because tomorrow you're at it. You're going. So it's really, really a process today. Just getting situated, getting everything you want in there. Tomorrow you come out, and it's ready to go. So it's going to be – guys got to be buttoned up. So today is just that introduction of getting everyone situated today.
So today is administrative / mental, not very physical today.
No, it's not.
Now, one of the rookies that – will be missing, or he may show up, but he's not going to be able to do much, is first-round pick Gerrion Conley.
Yeah.
Now, yesterday, Jabril Peppers, the defensive weapon out of Michigan, signed his contract with the Cleveland Browns. They finally reached an agreement. He was the pick directly after Conley. There are only four players from the 2017 NFL draft class who are currently unsigned. Just four players remain. Solomon Thomas, number two overall to the San Francisco 49ers, but they have three more days to get him done, and it looks like that will be done in 3 days. Corey Davis, wide receiver out of Western Michigan. He was the fifth overall pick to the Tennessee Titans. That's two of the four. The other two unsigned first-round picks belong to the Oakland Raiders. Excuse me, picks in general, not first-round picks. First-rounder Gerrion Conley, second-round safety Obi Melifonwu out of Connecticut. Both unsigned. Both second team players, or I should say secondary players, that could hopefully have an impact in this team's quest to get to the next level. Dibs, as we head into camp, we talk about the phrase buttoned up. We use it all the time. This isn't exactly a great look for the Raiders today as rookies are reporting and their first two picks are unsigned.
And big question marks about Gerrion Conley. Obi Melifonwu, you would figure would just be procedural and everything would get tied up and he'd be able to get into camp, but it's not the way you wanted to approach a season where expectations are higher than they've been in 15 years. This is a team expected to go very deep, and one of the big weaknesses was the secondary. So to have these question marks, you make two picks that, from a football standpoint, were great picks, guys who could come in and help you this season. Neither one signed right now. It's a troubling start to camp.
Lo, how big of a handicap could this be for these two players? The longer they're out, the less work they can get with the team, the less they're going to be around the team, the less they can compete for a starting job or a significant role with the club. How big of a handicap is this for a young guy trying to learn an NFL system?
Well, I think that you have to look at their agents, and the agents are trying to do the best for them because they want more money in their pocket. If they're probably caught up on semantics, more signing bonus. Do they want to do a 4-year deal or 5-year? Those options, how it looks, what's going on with the player, incentives, different things likely to be earned. Because when you're in this situation, especially for the Raiders, Joe, you have an opportunity and you have a duty that you owe to your clients. Because here's what the big thing and why these players, to me, are holding out. Of course, one has a legal issue, but think about it. They understand they're going to be on the field. There's a strong chance. This is a secondary, has some holes, right? So these rookies want to make sure that they're saying, look, I have some likely to be earned incentives that I got to make sure that these clauses are in there. If you're a rookie and you know that you have a really good chance of playing, you want to make sure you get those incentives in there, because that's a lot of money that you can make, a couple extra $100,000. So I think that it's stuff, small things, attention to details that these agents are looking for their guys, especially when it comes to the Raiders secondary. And I think that's why these guys are slow playing the Raiders, because they know they're going to be needed.
A very big congratulations to a good friend of the program and current Oakland Raider long snapper John Kondo and his lovely wife Jacqueline on the birth of their son Jack this past Friday. Everything looks good. Kondo was tweeting about it. He's got pictures. Penn State head coach James Franklin has already offered a scholarship to Kondo's son. So we're moving in the right direction. Nice. There's Penn State alumni. Penn State. But congratulations to John and Jacqueline. We look forward to seeing you on the field. But more importantly, to the birth of your son Jack on Friday. 888-957-9570. The day's finally arrived. Rookies are reporting. So what are your expectations for the 2017 season? 888-957-9570. That plus key training camp battles up next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. If we had cameras in the studio and we ran through the commercial break, you missed a riveting conversation on the Apple logo and why it's an apple with a bite taken out of it. I can't offer whether or not it's factual or not, but Lowe has theories and it spiraled quickly out of control. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Happy holidays, Raider fans. Rookies are reporting to Napa training camp today, so it's time to get football heavy. We're going to get into some training camp battles to keep an eye on over the next few weeks. But we're going to begin with your calls, 888-957-9570. Let's start with the most basic of conversations, your expectations for this team this season. 888-957-9570. Training camp is here, so it's time to talk expectations. You can give it to us from a win-loss perspective. You can give it to us from a personnel perspective. You can give it to us from how far this team should go in the season perspective. We begin with Anthony in San Jose. Anthony, thanks for calling the show. Your expectations for the Raiders this year.
What's up, Joe? Long time no talk, homie. Miss talking to you, man. I hope you're doing great, you and your family. What's up, Joe? What's up, Diz? What's up, Lorenzo?
Doing OG, well, man. OG. Doing well. How you doing?
Good job, man. I'm good, brother. Just working, man. Grinding early in the morning.
That's what we want to hear.
My expectation for my Raiders this year is 13-3. AFC Championship game in New England and beat New England to go to the Super Bowl. That's my expectation, bro. Nothing else matters. No excuses this year. This is it.
How concerned? Anthony, how you feeling about the defense this season? That's going to probably be one of the bigger concerns from a unit perspective. Heading into the season, do you think the defense is going to be good enough to get this team to the AFC Championship?
If we didn't get John Pagano, see, that's the key, though, Joe. John Pagano is a very underrated addition to our squad, man. Because if his defense in San Diego have been pretty good. I mean, we've seen them playing against us, and he's going to be a key addition. You'll see, everything will work out with him. But like I said, 13-3 AFC title game in New England and beat New England, bittersweet to go to the Super Bowl. Hey, you guys have a great day. Thank you, Joe.
Anthony, great phone call. That's exactly how we like to start off the week, with a great phone call like that. Lo, tell us about John Pagano. You know him personally. He's been brought in as a co-defensive coordinator with this staff. What's he going to do for this defense?
I think the biggest thing, when you look at the DC that's been here and you say, hey, gosh, great linebacker, played the game great. You saw his success in Seattle, Ken Norton, that is. Good coach. I think the biggest disconnect, Joe, was defenses and offenses, they kind of play hand in hand. The defense, the offense watch was the defense personnel out there, and they try to, you know, one up. It's a chess match. And what happened a lot of times is the offense would no go, no huddle, and they would see the personnel. Ken Norton's trying to make the call. Wrong personnel's out on the field a lot, and they put themselves in a tough situation, so they have to pay a vanilla defense. So it allows for different holes out there and for offenses to exploit what they have out there. John Pagano wants to come in and get the secondary and the back end working together as a cohesive defensive unit. you're going to see some more stability brought in on defense. Packages is going to be make sure that it doesn't dictate, it makes the offense dictate what they do because of the personnel that they're going to have. So look for Pagano to make sure you see the defenses get in and out of there, having the right personnel on the field at the right time. So I just think he's going to bring some more stability and continuity to the defense.
Dibs, I got a feeling that Anthony isn't alone with his 13-3 projection. Based on last year's record, the contract for Derek Carr, the optimism heading into this season, do you get the sense that Raider Nation as a whole is going to have a very high opinion of this team heading into week one?
I do, and I would caution them to not have such a high opinion of them going into the regular season, because what's important is making the playoffs and then doing well in the playoffs. Last year, 12-4 didn't mean much at the end of it because you didn't have Derek Carr, and you went into a winnable playoff game, and you got clobbered because you didn't have a quarterback who was able to get the job done. I would much rather see 10-6 and an advancement to the conference championship game. Have a healthy team, have a team that's ready to roll in January, as opposed to this year where you got there and you were unable to get it done.
888-957-9570. What are your expectations for the Oakland Raiders in 2017? Lo, one of the training camp battles to keep an eye on is going to take place at the middle linebacker position. Corey James, currently listed as the starter, second-year middle linebacker, 24 years old. He made 5 starts last season, 6 foot, 229 pounds. He was young, and he was thrown into a tough spot, and it was a position that struggled throughout the year. He might get pressed a bit by Markell Lee, the rookie fifth-rounder out of Wake Forest, 6'3", 240 pounds. Now, Lee's got problems with speed and instincts, but he does have some reaction that scouts liked, and he was able to move down the line to an extent to like scouts. But you fall to the fifth round for a reason. So are we going to be looking at Corey James at middle linebacker to start the year, and is this position going to be as big a problem this year as it was last year?
I think we're going to look, it's safe to say that Corey James is going to be a starter. You got to look at Lee. Lee's a guy who's kind of not as quick as on his feet, still a plugger, can run downhill. I think it's going, a lot's going to determine, Joe, how the front four plays. Last year, Joe, they underachieved. You know, they were, 29th in pass sacks. Didn't really play. Jethro Franklin, the defensive line coach, you're going to see this guy insert himself more in that defensive line, getting these guys going more, because I thought last year front four could have played a lot better. It's going to be imperative now that you see that these defensive linemen can keep those linebackers free to let them run downhill. And I think when you look at it, Corey James gives them a more versatile linebacker that can run downhill. They have to do a better job of keeping him clean, keep him clean, for he can make the holes, fit the holes, make the right fits. So I'm looking for the defensive line to play a lot better, when in return will help that middle linebacker position to help those guys be able to flow with keeping guys off their body.
Reggie in Philadelphia, thank you for calling the program. Your expectations for the Raiders this year. Go ahead, Reggie.
What's up, fellas? I got a long-term goal, and I got a couple short-term goals.
Okay.
The long-term goal, I want to see no less than the AFC Championship game. I think the Raiders have to be a clear number 2 in the AFC. So no less AFC Championship game. Short-term goals. Number 1, Jack has to beat Andy Reid this year. He has to. He's been taken to the woodshed 4 straight times. He needs to beat Andy this year. Short-term goals number 2 and 3, I'm going to 2 games this year. They need to win those 2 games. I'm going to the Sunday night game in Washington, week 3. Me and my wife are driving down to Washington. I got my Derek Carr jersey. I got her Amari Cooper jersey. We're going to go down dressed as AC/DC. They need to win that game. The second game, you know how critical I've been of Jack Del Rio. But my brother, who is from California, scored some box seats to that Monday night, Christmas night Raiders-Eagles game. If he beats the Eagles, he will have an ally for life in me. Joe, I know you don't want to hear it, but I cannot stand the Birds. I'm stuck out here amongst all these overhyped Birds fans. I would love nothing more than to be able to stick it to them and wear black Khalil Mack jersey into the link, and they come out with a victory. Jack will have an ally for life with me if he does that.
Be a very Merry Christmas, thanks, Reggie.
I guess thanks for the phone call, Reggie.
Nice,
appreciate
Reggie.
That.
Ready to
Look,
keep it real,
I
baby.
Live in the Bay Area now. I work on the Raiders flagship station. I'm a Raider fan. That's how it works. That stuff is in the past. What's there to root for here? Although they are throwing them up on the TV.
I got to get a little quarterback. I like that young guy.
I'll be rooting for the Raiders on that Christmas game. Is it Christmas this year, by the way? Is it a bunch of games or is it just a handful? How are they playing this?
If it's Monday night, it would just be Monday Night Football.
So it's going to be a regular Sunday schedule, and then there's going to be a one Monday Night Football game with a whole NBA slate?
Yeah, 5:30 kick.
Oh, God, 5:30
kick.
Nice.
Maybe the NBA slate would be abbreviated, or maybe they won't have a game until 7:30, you know, that late West Coast game.
It's the Clippers anyway. No one cares about the night game. You can put the Clippers and the Blazers in that game. Warriors get prime time in the afternoon, so you'll get them in the Cavs, and then you can transition right into Raiders-Eagles for Monday Night Football. That's a nice little Christmas right there.
Yeah, it is.
That will be great. If
ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have Merry Christmas.
Well, I think we will have
that. How it goes?
That was nice. You're fired, Joe.
All right, here's a question. Is it the right move for the Giants to consider themselves contenders in 2018? Apparently, the word from the higher-ups ownership is that they want the front office to contend in 2018. Is that the right play? We'll ask Jim Callis that and more next. Joe Low and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Dibs, I didn't know you liked to get wet.
Love that movie. It's training camp, people, not training day.
That was really nicely done.
Appreciate it.
That is a great movie. Although, Denzel Washington should have won an Oscar before that. That was the tribute Oscar. He was tremendous in that role, don't get me wrong. But he should have won an Oscar prior to that.
Can I give you one line from that movie? King Kong ain't got nothing on me.
That's very good.
Thanks for giving us the clean version, too, by the way. I believe it or not, I was staring at him going, oh, come on.
I know. I know you were.
I knew he was going right for that
I'll
line.
Keep it in my pants, so I will.
Only when I'm on duty does that happen, apparently. Thank you.
Senior writer for both MLB.com and MLBPipeline.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Jim Callis MLB. It's Jim Callis with Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Jim, good morning and thank you for your time. We'll jump right into it here with the San Francisco Giants. Ownership is letting the front office know that they want a contender in 2018. Two-parter for you. Is that the right direction for this club, number one? And number two, how feasible is such a mandate?
You know, I would say in terms of whether it's the right direction, it depends on, you know, and I don't think their front office could do anything crazy. I wouldn't just go out there half-cocked and just start trading all my prospects, you know, in like a desperate move to be better next year. But I don't think their front office will do that. I mean, they're obviously a very good front office. It's built through World Series champions. I do think they can bounce back. I mean, some things are going to have to go right, but I do think there are some parallels between them. And you look at what the Diamondbacks were last year when basically everything that could go wrong did. And not that the Diamondbacks came into this year with the new front office saying, okay, we're definitely can contend. But I know from talking to Mike Hazen and Amiel Sadai in spring training, they felt like, look, this team was not as bad as its record last year. And if some things go our way, you know, we can contend. And they have. And, you know, I think it's the same thing for the Giants. Now, you know, is Johnny Cueto going to opt out? You know, I don't know. But if you get Madison Bumgarner back to normal Madison Bumgarner and Matt Moore looks more like Matt Moore than whatever he's doing this year, and Jeff, you know, I think the pitching staff can be better. I think the lineup can be better. So I think they can. Now, I don't think you're going to go out and see him, you know, throwing out $200 million contracts to get free agents or making some really short-sighted trades. But I do think this team can be better next year.
You look at the batting order and third base, left field, obviously two giant holes. They haven't gotten a ton out of center or right field either. Are there enough players who will be available via free agency or even possible trade market pickups that could help this lineup enough for them to contend?
Well, I mean, I think you're going to have some, like I was saying, you're going to have some guys bounce back and you're going to have some help from within. Now, I think Christian Arroyo could possibly be that third baseman. You know, he struggled some in his first exposure to the big leagues, and then he got hurt in the minors, so you haven't seen him. You know, I don't think he's necessarily going to be a superstar, but Austin Slater was playing pretty well before he got hurt, so that might fill third base and left field. You get a decent season out of Spannon or Pence, and then you only have one hole to fill. You know, and again, I'm sounding like Peter Gammons, where I'm having if this and if that, like his old spring training reports. But again, I do believe that. You know, are all these things necessarily going to happen? No, but they could. You know, like I said, I mean, I really think if you put Arroyo in third and Slater in left, you might plug those two holes next year.
Panda coming back to the team. Still, do you feel that this guy is a short-term solution, or could he possibly play a long-term solution, meaning that he could play another 2 or 3 years in this organization?
Absolutely. I missed the name you said at the beginning of that.
Pablo Sandoval.
I think he's just a lottery ticket. I mean, he looked terrible in Boston for a number of years. I think you really have to question, his dedication to the game after he got the, you know, not that it, he was the most in shape guy to begin with before he got the $95 million contract. To me, Pablo Sandoval, if you get anything out of him, it's a bonus. I'm not expecting anything out of him.
Jim Callis is a senior writer for both MLB.com and MLBPipeline.com. He's joining Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. The future for Sonny Gray. Do you see him moved by the deadline? Who are the likely suitors for the A's, and what kind of haul can Oakland expect in return for their top pitcher?
I would expect him to be moved by the deadline, just because, I mean, Oakland's clearly said, look, we're playing totally for the future now. We're not in it for the present. And so it makes sense to trade him. I mean, he's bounced back. I don't know if he's quite as good as he was, you know, before he had the down year last year, if his stock's quite that high, but still pretty high. There aren't a whole lot of starting pitchers on the market, you know, good starting pitchers on the market. Now, I don't necessarily think he's the guy you're necessarily going to slot at number one in your rotation, and he's just going to, you know, lead you to a World Series championship. But, you know, I mean, he is, you know, at least a number two or a number three, and he'd help a lot of teams. You know, the thing that's tough, I'm here in Chicago, is Rick Hahn of the White Sox has done a great job of kind of maximizing his value for all the players he's traded in the last few months, you know, whether it's Chris Sale or Adam Eaton or Jose Quintana most recently. And so I don't know if that leads to like an unrealistic expectation that, you know, anybody who trades like a perfectly viable big leaguer is going to get a guy like that. So, I mean, he should get a good return. I don't necessarily think it'll be as good as what the White Sox got, because those returns surprised me a little bit. The team that seems to be all of a sudden the last few days kind of going all in is the Yankees. So maybe he winds up with the Yankees. I mean, we've heard him with the Astros. I mean, you've heard him with basically any team that's looking for a starting pitcher, but it seems like we've heard Yankees and Astros the most. Although, I mean, I haven't covered this stuff with prospects getting traded for almost 30 years. A lot of times it's some team we never saw coming. So I think we're all just guessing whether it's the Yankees, whether it's the Astros, whether it's somebody else, where he exactly winds up going.
Follow him on Twitter at Jim Callis MLB, senior writer for both MLB.com and MLBPipeline.com. Jim Callis with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Thank you for your time this morning, Jim. Terrific stuff, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Yeah, good talking to you guys. Take care.
Dibs, you were on the call for Pablo's return to the Giants organization over the weekend, were you not?
Yes, I was. Pretty exciting. Giants and the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes down at Municipal Stadium on Comcast Hometown. I occasionally do some games for them as an analyst. He came out and was 1-for-4 with a walk. He drove in a run on a bases-loaded RBI groundout. Didn't look very quick around the diamond. He was a DH for that ball game, so I didn't see him field. But the bat, still very good. He can still hit single-A pitching anyway.
The eye test, how'd it come across to you?
It came across fine. He looks like the old Panda. You know, he's a bigger guy. He has never been fleet of foot. So certainly when he was running out grounders, it didn't look like he was busting hump to, you know, beat out that ground ball where the run eventually scored. But he's playing himself back into shape. And for him, the shape that he's in is going to be the shape you get. The Giants, ultimately, if they want to bring him up, are going to get a guy who can still hit. Whether or not he can play third base and move around at third, we'll find out when he goes to Sacramento. He plans to go there on Tuesday. So one more night in San Jose. Sacramento comes home, and I think he'll join the Rivercats tomorrow.
We've got $1,000 to give away at 7 a.m., $1,000 to give away at 8 a.m., and a conversation next about the breaking news regarding Kyrie Irving and LeBron James. You've probably heard about this already, but what you haven't heard is the conspiracy theory Lo Neal's about to float. Fascinating stuff. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Good morning and welcome back. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. $1,000 to give away at 7 a.m., $1,000 to give away at 8 a.m. as the 4K a day cash contest is back in there like swimwear. Now, Will Brinson's going to join us at 7:15 to talk all things NFL, and at 7 o'clock we're going to jump back into our Oakland Raiders training camp preview as rookies are reporting today. Yes, people, can you believe it? Rookies are reporting, training camp is underway. But we have got to get into the biggest news of the weekend, and that is a two-part story coming out of Cleveland, Ohio. Kyrie Irving on Friday, the news breaks. He has requested a trade. He gave the Cavaliers four teams he would be willing to be dealt to. San Antonio, the Heat, the Timberwolves, and the Knicks. In response to that, news breaking last night and into this morning, LeBron James has made it very clear, as one of three players in the NBA with a no-trade clause, he will not be waiving that no-trade clause. So for those who are floating the theory that maybe the Cavs should try to move LeBron now before doomsday hits so they can get something in return, he will not be waiving that no-trade clause. But to see trouble in paradise after another trip to the NBA Finals, I think a lot of us were under the impression that these two were boys, Kyrie Irving and LeBron. And it turns out Kyrie wants to be his own star. According to these reports, he's tired of playing with James, and he doesn't want to be the last man on the Titanic. So he's jumping ship now. Dibs, how big of a surprise was it for you Friday when you saw this news surface?
It was a big surprise because you thought that everything was hunky-dory. They got along fine. I mean, he had some very complimentary comments back in May when they won the Eastern Conference Finals about LeBron. It seemed like a Batman and Robin relationship that was going to be perfect. Kevin Love is... as the third man there, Aquaman in this case, you know, limited in his
Vinny
own
Chase,
way.
Aquaman.
He's limited, but if you're ever in water or behind the three-point line, Kevin Love can be critical. But I digest, as we like to say on this program.
Nice, nice.
I never saw the dissipation of this relationship coming this season. I thought it would be next year when LeBron opted out, and then maybe Kyrie would decide that he wanted to be traded.
We'd like you to weigh in on this as well. 957thegame.com, where you can find our Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet. Will the Cleveland Cavaliers trade Kyrie Irving before the start of the season? You can weigh in there and also via Twitter, at 957thegame. Low, Kyrie Irving, LeBron James. Is there really a faction between these two? Is there really a problem with both players trying to share the spotlight, or is something deeper going on here, in your opinion?
I think it's deeper. I think when you look at what happened 2 months ago, Kyrie and him, when they went back in the locker room, before they got back there, Kyrie waited for LeBron, one guy in particular, hugged him, we'll be back, saw those guys, and then a month ago, you just heard him say 2 weeks ago, hey, I'll go play where LeBron goes. I really believe now, and they're talking about the different teams and the different trade possibilities, there's a movie, Unusual Suspects. And it has an interesting twist at the end.
Usual Suspects.
Usual Suspects. Sorry about that. It was a great movie. Kaiser Sose was the guy in there. Was just really twisted your mind. I think this one can be that same type of deal. When you hear him say, I'm tired of playing second fiddle, LeBron, all of a sudden, now 3 weeks later, he comes back and say, now I'm tired of playing second fiddle. Don't want to be here. I want to be my own guy. I want to be my team. And he names some teams. I think that he's going to end up with the Clippers. If the Clippers make this thing happen... for Kyrie, wouldn't that be a usual suspect? Because I believe after next year, now LeBron already got his house in L.A., and then they can say they're back again, the Batman and Robin, and they say, we fooled them. We got one over on them. I really believe that these two want to play together. I believe that it's a foregone conclusion that LeBron's out. He's disappointed with the whole organization. He warns Kyrie, hey, I'm out. Kyrie says, you know what? Forget this. Let me go out here and make some stink. They said they were going to try to trade me already this year. Forget it. I'm demanding a trade. He goes in there and does this. Look at LeBron's not saying nothing. He's doing Twitter and doing his little Instagram where he's just playing music and shaking his head.
Well, according to reports, he was devastated by the news.
Devastated. Exactly. Everyone was devastated when they saw the movie. And at the end of the movie, what did my man do? Came out walking straight. He was, you know,
spoilers.
Yeah.
That movie's only 20 years old. People haven't seen it.
Oh, they got to watch
18,
that.
Joe. 2000.
Is that what it is?
I think so, yeah.
I just took a stab in the dark. Nice.
Phenomenal movie, by the way, Dibs. Phenomenal.
I was visiting Auntie Margot in Bisbee in 2000, and we watched it on Christmas night.
What'd you think?
I thought it was crazy.
Crazy. That's crazy. Why this is going to be
Kaiser
crazy.
Kaiser Sose, though.
Yeah. That's why I think Kyrie and LeBron, crazy, Joe.
So what you're saying is...
the unusual suspects.
LeBron has...
usual suspects, Dibs.
LeBron has 1 year left before he can opt out and leave for L.A.
Yep.
Kyrie's got 2 years left. What you're suggesting is that these two, instead of this facade they're putting on about how they can't share the spotlight, about how Kyrie wants to be his own man, you're suggesting that this is all being orchestrated by James and Kyrie to get Kyrie out now so James can join him in 1 year's time. You think these two are working behind the scenes to pull something like that off?
And it's going to be great, Joe, because here's the thing. If LeBron had to wait another year without Kyrie, he's a year older. Now he can say, Ty, go do your thing, Ree. I'm going to do this 1 year deal. I'm gone. Opt out. I'm going to come join you. Batman and Robin, tag team, back again. I really believe.
Whoop, there it is.
I really believe that they're gonna reunite. I really do.
What do you think of this?
I think it's poppycock. I know we're just coming off the Open Championship, so I'm going to borrow from the Brits and say it's pure poppycock.
Rubbish.
It's
as
pure
the Euros
rubbish.
Would say, it's rubbish.
Yes. You can take that to the loo. In the WC, the water closet.
Please explain.
Because it's not going to happen like that. Kyrie's not going to coerce a trade somewhere, and then LeBron's not going to opt out and go join him. I think that there's a lot more to Kyrie not wanting to play with LeBron than you would think. I don't think that they're floating a trial balloon to try to orchestrate this in the future.
You think this is like a transformer, robots in disguise? This is just not a disguise. I'm on the other side.
I don't think it's a robots in disguise. I think it's Kyrie Irving looking at his career and thinking, I am good enough to be the alpha dog somewhere. I don't need to be the second dog for a team that has no chance of winning.
That's your question. Who won that?
No, you can't ask me a question.
Who took the last shot to win the game to beat the Dubs?
This past year when they lost in five?
When they beat the Dubs.
It was Kyrie Irving.
I think that LeBron and him understands the pecking order. I think there's no order. I think that they both get along great. They're hugging and kissing. You see them all the time. High-fiving, fist-pumping. LeBron's patting him on the head and pulling him close to him and twisting and turning. These guys generally have a good respect. Only thing's missing is the banana boat.
Fair point. And in L.A., you're right near the water. You can go out to Catalina Island and get your own banana boat.
Sure.
The Catalina Wine Mixer, people. The Catalina Wine Mixer. All right. Let's assume for part of this conversation that there's no conspiracy here. That Kyrie and LeBron truly don't want to play together. Or at least Kyrie doesn't want to play with LeBron anymore. Now he's asking for a trade. The Cavaliers are in very dangerous territory here. Very dangerous territory for a number of reasons. Their little run's over. We know that that's coming. Whether or not they move Irving, 2 years from now, he's not going to be there when his contract's up. He's going to leave for a better city. LeBron's going to be leaving after this year. Took the prison bet on that a month ago. Cleveland is not going to be able to recruit free agents, good free agents, because no one's going to want to live there. NBA players want to live in the mega cities. Miami, New York, despite the fact that it's dysfunctional, LA, Golden State, Chicago, Houston, cities like that. So Cleveland, you're not going to be able to contend. This is the end of the road. So you're in real dangerous territory because you're about to lose to your top two most marketable stars. But more importantly for the NBA, if you acquiesce to this trade demand, what type of precedent does this set for the rest of the league? And what I mean by that is the players already have a lot of control in the NBA. They do a real nice job of dictating which super teams they want to form. The stars get to go here, there. They get to orchestrate quite a bit when it's all said and done. But if Irving's able to force this trade out, what's this going to mean for, say, like the Dame Lillards of the world or the Jimmy Butlers or the Paul Georges or any of these guys that are on that top tier or that second tier? If you come to your ownership, if you leak to the media that you want to be traded, your team immediately loses all its leverage because everyone knows you want out. So no one's going to have to pay you fair market value for Kyrie Irving. He wants out. He doesn't want to be there. Now, they can force him to stay, and it'll be a disgruntled situation throughout the year, or they can move him and try to get some assets because they're going to lose him in 2 years anyway. But you're going to end up getting nickels on the dollar. You're not going to get a full market value in return. If they end up moving him, this sends a message to every other high-level player in the NBA that if you don't like your situation and you want to go somewhere because you don't like your contract, because you don't like your teammates, because you don't like your city, you can force your way out like this.
Yeah.
I think Adam Silver, this is a dangerous situation for the NBA. I don't know. Call me crazy, Dibs, but what do you think?
I think you're right, but what are they going to do about it? They can't do anything about it because these players now are making generational wealth after their second contract. You come in and you're making 15, you're making $18 million a year. You get to the point where you're 30, you're 8 or 9 years in, you think, okay, now I want to go win a title. How can I accomplish this? It's either you do a short deal and you can opt out and call your own shot, or you sign a long-term deal, and what these guys are doing now is you float the thing that you want to be traded. And then, like you say, the team's over a barrel. You can't just replace Carmelo Anthony. I know we criticize him a lot, but he's still a top 20 player in the league. You got Jimmy Butler and these guys who are elite players. If DeMar DeRozan or John Wall says, look, I want out of here in their particular team, what can their team do about it? Nothing.
Well, and here's the thing you have to realize. It's not bad for the NBA because the team that gets a Kyrie, those fans are instantly saying, we got a chance. You give them hope again. You look at it another way, they're saying, look, do I want a disgruntled player on my team? It's different than football. They can become cancer, especially if it's the point guard, a guy says, you know what, I'm hurt today. Go out to practice, act like it hurt his ankle, and all of a sudden he's missed 2-3 weeks. They dictate what is going to happen. So I look at it like that. I just think that this owner, this particular owner, he's so into himself, he doesn't care. He's like, I'm trading him then. He's saying he's going to do it his way. He's so out of touch. This is a fact. I think this comes down strictly the owner, because of what he's done. He's allowed these guys to just go rogue on him. And I wonder what this team is worth now. The $2 billion that it was worth, I wonder what it's worth now. I'd love to see that.
Who would want to buy it, knowing LeBron James is going to be gone?
And Kyrie.
Jeez. If LeBron James gets upset about this situation, like if they're not working together here and he's upset, the only person he really has to blame for this is himself. He's the one that ushered in this new era of basketball players dictating their own terms. He's the one that started it. He went to Miami and dictated the big three there, and then he dictated his terms coming back to Cleveland. And then when it came to whether or not it'd be Kevin Love for Wiggins and everything else that's happened, this guy's dictated his own terms for years now. That's what the rest of the NBA is doing. Kevin Durant dictating his own terms. Kyrie Irving dictating his own terms. That's what's happening. He started this trend, and now it's coming back to bite him in the ass.
I think the real fault lies with USA Basketball, Joe, as we talked about earlier. Jerry Colangelo putting these Super Olympic teams together. These guys get to know each other. They become buddies, and then they make these plans, like the Banana Boat crew and KD getting to know Draymond and those guys. Keep these guys apart, and they won't be able to get to know each other and build super teams.
Training camp opens today. Rookies are reporting for the Silver and Black. We're taking your phone calls with the training camp preview and $1,000 to give away, all coming up in a flash. Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.